This is Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number two, Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, Matt Brown and Mike Somich. Just getting off with Adam Rosenberg. Some good plays for him. I liked the to turn a double play.
It's
did
a fun
not
one.
Know was a bet that one could make. He said you got to dig deep to find it at some of the books out there, but it is a bet that you can make and been making it for a month now. So to turn a double play.
And you can parlay, which is kind of fun too.
There you go.
Got to have a double play parlay. It makes sense to me.
Get those out there. But yeah, that's incredibly interesting. And this is why we have guests on here. Sometimes they make us smarter as well.
I mean, it's amazing how deep the portfolio of these books go now sometimes. I mean, just the options that you have as a sports bettor to be able to dive through this thing and try and find these, we'll call it a little more gnarly lines that are hidden. It's one of the things that I really enjoy because you can spend 30, 40 minutes just looking at the menu and you'll find new things inside each of these sports books.
Miami Heat guard Duncan Robinson is declining his $20 million early termination option to become a free agent and will work with the franchise on a new deal to return or a move elsewhere.
Didn't he get paid?
I'm like,
not recently, but he had one of those ridiculous contracts after he had one good playoffs and was able to, but he hasn't shot the ball the same since then.
They're like, he will work with him to bring him back or go elsewhere. I mean, like,
he's just a free agent.
He's just a free agent. So that's, you're interpreting it the same way I am, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's how contracts work. When they're over, you either work with the organization to come back or go elsewhere.
I think we just had a Jazz Chisholm home run.
We did. Yeah. We did. I immediately made fun of the Yankees and A's for not being able to score. And all of a sudden they score a run and now have someone on first with no outs. Guys, six is still fine.
Yes. If you want to bet some of these games along with us, you can do it at ProfitX. Guys, we talk about this. It's an exchange. It is not at a sports book. So you're betting against guys like me and Mike. And you go in, if you use a promo code VSiN, it is going to allow you to earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. So again, you can go in, you can actually put up your own bets on there as well and see if somebody picks them up. So again, ProfitX, give it a whirl. It is an exchange. It's different than a sports book out there. Use promo code VSiN, earn up to $200 in profit cash in your first month over there at ProfitX. We got the games that are going lots of runs there for the Pirates against the Mets. This Mets team kind of struggling, kind of reeling here a little bit, and you allow the Pirates to score more runs in the first inning than they've scored all season long, total, I think. I don't know if the Pirates have scored 5 runs all season.
I'm not in the first inning, probably. That might be a new record for him. Frankie Montas, coming off the DL or IL for the Mets here. They were hoping to get something from him, signed him as a free agent during the offseason. Not a great start to his campaign here. Giving up the 4 to the Pirates, not what you're looking for.
Oh, it was 5.
Oh, it was 5?
Yeah.
Oh, I had 4.
Yeah, 5.
Oh, 5. That's even worse.
A 5 spot to the Pirates.
It's like 25% worse.
I mean, a 5 spot to the Pirates is kind of like, you just got to retire. Sorry.
That's like a 20 spot to the Cubs.
To anyone else, you just got to retire. Sorry. Montas, you're retired.
You're out.
Yes. You walk out to the mound and be like, I'm not just taking you out of the game. You also must retire.
Like, I would like the ball and your badge and your car key, like your parking spot. Everything's gone. Yeah,
turn in your swiper. Your key card.
Clean out the locker, buddy.
It's not going to boop in the building anymore. Sorry.
Boop in the building.
Seriously. I mean, it's one of those deals. You go at 5 to the Pirates, it's game over. All right. Some of these games are going to be starting in about 7-8 minutes. We just talked about the Rockies and the Brewers there with Adam, but he does like Chad Patrick to go out and get at least seven Ks here against this Rocky squad. I think that's probably a pretty good bet whenever you look. And what team do you think over the last 2 weeks in Major League Baseball has the highest K rate?
The Rockies.
It is the Rockies at 31.1% over the last 2 weeks, which is good, which is nearly 5% clear of Boston, which is second.
The Angels have kind of slowed their roll on the striking outside. They were up there for a long time, and the Rockies are like, no.
Yes.
We like to strike out more.
We like to swing and miss more than you do. They are fourth in the last two. The Angels, yeah.
They were way up there for a minute. Now they're deciding to try and hit the ball a little.
Yeah, so this one, if you want to tail Adam, and listen, I think his point on Patrick, just from a rookie of the year standpoint, is interesting for sure. And it's these are bigger numbers though in the deal with Schwarber as well, right? It's like you're going in and you're just trying to get to something that is still definitely possible to happen at an inflated number, essentially.
Oh, you're in flyer range, right? Where you like you're looking at 25, 30 to one. You're not sitting there and you're like, okay, I'm going to bet a full unit or 5 units or anything crazy on it. But at the same time, it's a market where you can go in, you can get a little bit of exposure to it. And if you do have a very good June from Schwarber, for instance, and he shoots up to being one of the favorites, you can then take a little judge, a little Ohtani, depending on which direction you want to go.
Build a nice little portfolio.
Exactly. Yeah, like you can't like build portfolios around 2-1s.
You cannot.
You can around 25-1s.
Chicago Cubs and the Houston Astros, Jameson Taillon, Framber Valdez. This is Astros -133. You can get +110 on the Cubs on the road as dogs. And this is a 7.5 because Framber Valdez has really, really stepped it up this year. I mean, he's always good, but he is really, really good this year.
Yeah, he has been very good. Yeah. And it's interesting. I thought I was going to bet the Astros. I thought I was going to go first five minus the half. Ended up not going to it. If you want to bet this one, I think this is a good home run game for Astros hitters. So Jameson Taillon actually has pitched really well this year. It doesn't feel like it, though, because he really likes giving up home runs. If you look in the last 10 starts, he's given up 16 home runs.
That's not good.
That's not good. Mm-hmm. He's got a 1.1. He doesn't strike out a ton of dudes, and he gives up a lot of home runs. That's the problem. He's got a 1.1 whip, so it's not like you're giving up a ton of base runners. It's just people are hitting home runs against you. Five in the last two games. I don't hate the idea of taking some Astros player props here for home runs if you want to take a nice price. There's a swing on a couple people. I looked at Diaz. I don't hate the idea of play or home run props here or for the Astros.
Yeah, it's really weird that the Cubs, like you look, and over the last couple of weeks, I mean, it feels like this offense has been really, really slumping, but they're fifth in the bigs and weighted on base. Like it just maybe they were just so incredibly good at the beginning that it just feels like
that is the thing, is that this was an offense, honestly, like now that I'm thinking about it, I kind of don't mind the over 7.5.
I
because Valdez has been good, but his underlying numbers are almost a full point higher in the underlying in his xera versus his current era. We mentioned about the home run issues that we're seeing from Taillon. 7.5, a low number for two teams that can hit the baseball.
Maybe that's just, and honestly they have not been running pure either, so they still have fifth best weighted on base over the last couple of weeks, but a .268 BABIP, which is batting average balls in play for those who follow the advanced stats out there. So again, league average on BABIP is about 300. So I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird team, weird feeling that I have with the Cubs.
This is going to be the flyer over of the day that I then regret betting probably.
Yeah. Well, you know, we are taking some flyers today.
We are.
Yeah.
The Flyer Sunday.
San Francisco Giants and the Chicago White Sox, Justin Verlander, Jonathan Cannon. This is Verlander and the Giants -156 favorites on the road over Cannon and the White Sox. You can get about +130 on them at home as dogs. 8.5 our total, that is heavily juiced towards the over.
Yeah. Not surprised juiced toward the over, but I am surprised to get plus money on the over team total for the Giants in the first five. 2.5 runs over +114. Sign me up. Cannon's not been good. It actually has been very bad. So I'm happy to take the over for a Giants team that has not been hitting the baseball all that well recently, but this is a great spot for them. I would lean toward the over in the game. Verlander, the 0-5 is legit. He has not been good. The velocity is not there. So I like the team total over for the Giants the most here. So over 2.5, first five for me, Giants +114.
Yeah, the thing with Cannon, just not a lot of swing and miss, not a lot of swing and strikes for him. His walk rate is not bad, but I mean, if you're not missing bats, you really would like it to be a little bit lower than it is. And then the other deal too, I mean, Mike, you're just looking at this guy that is at a 46% fly ball rate, and unfortunately they're leaving the yard on him pretty good too. So about a 1.5 homers per nine given up there for Cannon. So definitely a Giants or pass for me. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and I just want to take the team total. I want to just assume Cannon's gonna stink again. And if you look back through his recent starts as well, he gave up 5 3 innings against Detroit, gave up 5 5 2/3 against the Mets, gave up 4 to the Cubs previous start before that. So he's not been pitching his best right now.
What do you think the splits are on this game? Well, I can tell you can go find out over at VSiN.com if you want to.
Look at
we
that.
We have a splits page that will let you know what it looks like over at DraftKings and what it looks like right out here behind us at Circa. So you get an idea of what the recreational big national book at DraftKings is doing. And then, like, you know, we always say a little bit bigger bets coming in at Circa, maybe if you believe in, you know, the sharper action, stuff like that. So you can compare, contrast. We always say, Mike, we like, don't make your bets based off of this, but maybe you can go in and just get some sort of glimpse as to what the markets are doing right there.
Yeah. I mean, it's a nice tool to have. Mm-hmm. I don't think it should be the end all be all, but it does give you interesting looks. And one thing that I'll do a lot of times, I'll look through the splits. And if I notice something where you have a high percentage of tickets on one side, high percentage of the money on the other, I'll give a second look to that game. Not saying we're going to bet it just because of the splits, but I do think it's worthwhile to at least have the information.
I always say, like, we can use anything as a tool if you want to, and but none of it, nothing should just be like cut and dry, like, you know, black and white. Like this, we don't do that as bettors. And like, I think that it's worth saying that about the split page. You go in and you say like, huh, maybe that's a little interesting. And then it gives you something to dig into and get you, your mind curious.
You know what's never a bad thing?
What?
Information.
Yes, exactly.
And this gives you more information.
Yeah. Just use it wisely is all we say.
Well, that's the important part. Yes, just use the information wisely.
Yes, just use the
don't use it stupidly.
Yes. Just use the information wisely. That is all we ask of you out there. Okay, we got the Mariners and the Rangers, Luis Castillo and Jack Leiter. Minus 126 Mariners on the road, plus 104 Leiter in the Ranger. 8.5 is our total here in this one.
Yeah, I looked at some Rangers team total unders. Mm-hmm. I looked at some possible Mariners plays. I don't trust Leiter. I know you liked him at the start of the season.
I just thought he was
it's an interesting arm.
It was an interesting arm and possibly a dude that I knew was going to at least going to start in the rotation. And it was more of a rookie of the year play because, hey, listen, if opportunity is the first thing, right?
That's a big
and, like,
part
he,
of it.
And he was going to make the rotation and all that. But he has his moments. But unfortunately, his moments are like every third, fourth start.
Right, which is not not enough to really trust him. And Castillo on the other side, very reliable pitcher. Home road splits, not too bad for Castillo. One of the things I always look for at these Mariners pitchers because of how friendly that ballpark is. Getting no bet for me, but if I was going to play it, it's under team Rangers team total first five or it's Mariners first five.
Polt Gaita walks out and birdies hole number one. He is at 20. Under par with 17 holes left to play, but everybody's coming after him. Chris Kirk is 2 under through 3. Jake Knapp did birdie. Grazerman birdied. Hideki's 4 under. I mean, there is going to be a lot of people chasing him down here. We'll see how that looks for sure. But we're going to bet the cycle when we come back here on Ready, Set, Bet.
Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN. Matt Brown and Mike Somich coming to you here on a Sunday. Thanks for being with us. Appreciate it. Channel 158 over on Sirius or YouTube TV. Our watch app, if you are a VSiN Pro subscriber, you can see what our faces look like.
Hey.
One of the biggest bonuses of becoming a VSiN Pro
maybe the
subscriber.
Biggest, if we're just being
possibly
honest. You know?
The biggest. Feel like I have a pretty good hair day going on today. So we just picked the winning ticket for this this pick six. So no need for y'all to even play.
Yeah, I actually switched product up. Can you tell?
Is it a firmer hold or is it?
It's supposed to be a little more natural.
A little bit more. Yeah. All right. Yeah, it's a product is a.
I mean,
it's a bigger part of a man's life than people.
You know why I switched it up?
You couldn't find the one you
I forgot my other one at home, so I walked to CVS.
Yes. You could have said, hey, man, you got some backup product. I'd be like, hey, what you need? What are you looking for? Pomade? You looking for a whatever? I could have come with like five different things. For
I don't want to have that conversation with you. You're just way more into that than I am.
I've had to test out so many. I have fine hair.
Mm-hmm.
And
I just feeling
the
yourself,
wrong,
huh?
The wrong, no, the wrong, the wrong stuff. It just absorbs into my head, and it looks like I haven't taken a shower in a week. I look greasy.
Yeah.
So I have to find stuff that doesn't make the hair look greasy.
See, I just have really thick hair that just doesn't cooperate no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't worry about it.
We are. We said it heading to break, but quite honestly, this tournament really is up for grabs for anybody right now. I mean, yes, Polt Gaita is in first, but Chris Kirk's at 19 under, one off. Jake Knapp, Max Grazerman are at 18 under that are two off. Hideki is three off. He's running out of holes, though. But Cam Champ, Chandler Phillips, Nico Echeverria, Matt Fitzpatrick. I mean, these are all people within striking distance sitting at 17 under right now. So, I mean, this is going to be a sweat no matter who you have. Honestly, like, if you have anybody right now at 17 or, like, it's just going to be a sweat.
I mean, the top four right now, 20, 19, 18, 18, right?
Yeah.
No, none of them are more than three holes into the tournament, and they are a combined 6 under.
Yes.
Like, just birdies everywhere.
Yeah, it is. I mean, your boy Ben Griffin.
Yeah, he's coming.
I mean,
he's going to run out of holes.
He's going to run out of holes, but he's 2 under. He's sitting at 16. And we said at the top of the show, if you weren't with us, couple of 7 unders in the clubhouse already. So it can be done today.
It's gettable.
Yeah,
it's
it can gettable. Be done today. So we will continue to monitor that. If it's not, oh, no. Oh, boy. Polt Gaita.
Oh, he gave one back. You can't bogey on this course, buddy.
Polt Gaita bogeys 2.
Oh, my
He saw him coming up the leaderboard. He was the problem. Golly. He looked at the leaderboard. He saw his name at the top. Ugh. He was like, oh, I'm feeling
this. I don't want to talk about it. Yep. I don't want to talk about it.
So he is now tied with Chris Kirk. So everything I just said about the leaderboard is false. It is now, it is now a tie at first with Chris Kirk and Aldrich Poltgeiter. So we'll see how that goes. So let's bet the cycle here, Mike. This is a single, double, triple, and home run bet. And no, it does not have to be those actual bets. We're just talking about level of difficulty here with this one. And for me, how about a very basic little plus money? It's a small plus money.
Little bit one.
But, you know, give me Ketel Marte to go out there against Cal Quantrill and get a couple of bases. It's a plus 105, so it's not even a, you know, you don't have to lay anything here. Your $100 is going to win you $105 here. But Ketel Marte, absolutely fantastic matchup here. Going up against Cal Quantrill. I like to pick on Cal Quantrill, if at all possible, with plays against him. That said, the line in this one's up to minus 187, so I just can't get there with that. So I'll go an alternate route and pick on him with Ketel Marte.
I will do that a little bit later.
All right.
So we'll have to get a little bit further into the cycle before I pick on Quantrill as well. I'm going to pick on Chris Paddock.
All right.
Who stunk. And I talked about wanting to bet against him. One of those ways will be Riley Green here. 3+ hits, runs, and RBI sitting at plus 135 for the Detroit Tigers. Going to hit right in the middle of the lineup against a very not good pitcher right now. So, yeah, give me Riley Green. 3+ hits, runs, RBIs. And guess what? Corey's like, Matt, I liked your Ketel. Actually, I think Corey did this first.
Did he?
Yeah. So Matt was like, Corey, I liked your Ketel Marte bet so much. I'm going to take 2+ bases at plus 105.
Look at him. Did he do it first?
He did. You know, he always beats us in
here.
I'll
give him the benefit of the doubt.
He always is before us when we're doing this.
I'm going to take the Mariners on the run line against the Rangers. We talked about it. We were talking about this game. Yes, I was the guy on this network, and I was preaching about Jack Leiter. The thing is he's only the Jack Leiter that I thought he could be about one every four starts. And so this Mariners team hitting the ball a little better. We lost yesterday in 10 innings. Is what it is. You're going to lose in 10 innings sometimes. This one, I think we can get there. Plus 135, of course, we get all the at-bats as well because we're the road team with the Mariners. So give me the Mariners on the run line.
Yeah, don't mind it. Like, again, I would be Mariners or Rangers team total first five under there. So don't mind that look, especially for a segment like this.
We should also mention we only had four games to choose from.
That is correct.
Yes.
I actually only chose from three because I wasn't sure if we could get this in the time. For me, the double. I'm going to do a little same game parlay. Yeah. I will take the Tigers minus two, minus 102. And Scooble to strike out eight or more batters. That's plus 204 when you put them together. Again, I want to fade Paddock. I like Scooble here against this Tigers offense. So do a little Tigers minus two, minus 102. Scooble eight plus Ks at plus 204. Corey, going to the big dumper.
Oh, yeah. Of course he is.
Going Cal Raleigh, 4+ hits, runs, and RBIs. Plus 215 there. We're heavy on Mariners and Tigers here.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. And I'm going to go with both of my triple and home run bets here but with Tigers. But we'll just start with the triple. And give me Scooble at the 9+ Ks versus the Twins. And this is not even necessarily, we talked to Adam about it as well. I was of the same mindset that we are looking at a guy that is just more in a team that's looking a bit further down the road. Not pushing the pitch count as much as possible, but we are getting this team that is, for me, in my opinion, this the Tigers are, I think, like legit contenders here, dude. Like, I don't think this is just a fun story. Like, I think this is a real team.
I am not ready to move them into the top tier, but they're right below it.
Yeah.
Below it.
They are real contenders. Like, actual real contenders.
I would not laugh at you if you bet them to win the AL. Yeah. Right. That it's one of those like, okay, make the case, right? Mm-hmm. Versus just like, you're crazy.
Yeah. Scooble, look, give me the mid-90s pitch count in here, and I feel pretty good about this one.
Yeah. I don't disagree as I went over AKs. Triple for me. Back to good old Ketel Marte. You guys are soft. 2+ bases. Give me 4+ hits, runs, and RBIs. Plus 215 for our boy Marte. Good hitting day. It's a good setup for the Diamondbacks to be able to put some runs up. Marte hits in the two hole. So you got often the table is set for him. He also is likely to score a run if he's able to get on base. So Ketel Marte, 4+ hits, runs, RBIs, plus 215. And Corey's like, you know what? Mike, you went over 9 or over 8. Matt, you went over 9. I'm going 10+ Ks.
10 for Scooble.
For Mr. Scooble. That's plus 250 for Corey as his triple. Can you tell we only had a couple games?
Yes, double digit Ks there for Scooble. So I'm going back to the well with Scooble with my home run, which is 9+Ks, but also he's going to have to record a win. That is a +262 same game parlay that you are getting. Yes, I do understand that that brings the bullpen into play, but guess who has a top five bullpen in all of baseball? That is the Detroit Tigers. I feel okay with that one. So give me Scooble on the Ks, and then he also has to record the win.
There you go. For me, I'm going to go with a home run with a Angels player here. We got Mitchell Parker on the hill for the Nationals, and I kind of think he's not great. He likes to give up some homers every now and then, and you know who likes to hit him? Joe Adell. And he's sitting there with 2+RBIs at +370. So give me Joe Adell, 2+RBIs, +370. You put my four together. Riley Green, 3+hits, runs, and RBIs. Tigers, -2. Scooble, 8+Ks. Marte, 4+hits, runs, RBIs. And Adell, 2+RBIs. Looking at 76-1, Matt.
Hey, better late than never on Joe Adell, right?
He's starting to hit the ball.
Like, better late than never. This is a guy that was at one point a top 10 prospect in all of baseball. I mean, a can't miss, whatever. And then all he did was miss when he came out. Yeah. He like struck out like 40, literally over 40% of the time. Like, and they've tried and tried to keep sending him down, keep bringing him back, keep sending him. And he might have saved his career with this month. This month has saved his career.
Is there any sport that has more post-hype sleepers that click than baseball?
No.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Yeah. Like 4 years, you're like, wait a second. Yeah. I remember that name.
I remember when Joe Adell was a top prospect.
I was super happy to have him in my minor league roster like 6 years ago, and then he stunk. Yeah. Corey, for his home run, he's going to go to the home run. CJ Abrams also been hitting the baseball pretty well right now for the Nationals. Home run, +330 there. You put Corey's four together with Marte, 2+total bases. Raleigh, 4+hits, runs, RBIs. Scooble with 10 Ks and a CJ Abrams home run, 96-1. We're going to hit one of these.
CJ Abrams leading off there for the Nationals. So you're going to get a lot of opportunity. Yeah, you're going to get a lot of opportunity there for him to get that done. So he is in the lineup, is hitting first there for that Nationals team. We head over to the scoreboard here. The Pirates have added another one. 6-0 there on this Mets team. Certainly got to figure some stuff out on the Mets side. St. Louis up 6-0 on Cleveland. The Yankees 1-0, but they got a couple on, I think.
Just want to bet on the DP here. Yeah. Nice little double play.
Atlanta with an 1-0 lead on Philadelphia. Baltimore 1-0 over Tampa. And we are tied at 2 there. Toronto and Boston.
I got to be honest. Mm-hmm. When the Phillies stranded the bases loaded in the first, I got concerned. And then you got the solo jack here for the Braves. So just the two hits, but to have the one run, need the Phillies to scrape one back here.
Edge Boost, first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring that all your gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. You can get some cash back as well. 100% of all of your betting deposits will get approved. Edgeboost.bet, promo code BET. We will give you a deposit match with that. Deposit $25. Edge Boost will match that deposit. Edgeboost.bet.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN. Coming through, Malik Beasley and the Pistons, according to Shams. We're in a 3-year, $42 million contract negotiation as this news broke. So
I don't think they're in that negotiation anymore. Yeah,
so it might have cost himself $42 million if you weren't with us at the top. Some pretty serious allegations that he was involved in some betting, not only on games, but on player props and things like that. So, man, 42 mil down the drain.
I'm going to chalk that up as a bad decision.
Yes. Like we said, give me 8 figures to do just about anything, and I'd be like, sounds good.
Or stop doing anything. Yeah.
Sounds good.
I can do that. Amazing. I can handle that.
Yeah. It'd be like, hey, you can't drink water again. I'd be like, I'll try. Okay, that sounds. Give me the $10 million. I'll try not to drink water.
What about sparkling?
You know. I will do the best I can to not drink water. Until my body rotted away, I would take your $10 million.
I mean, you'd have to be able to drink water through, like, you just drink a lot of coffee?
Yeah, I mean.
Or tea?
Maybe tea would be.
Yeah, you figure out, like flavored water, essentially.
You'd figure a way around it.
Yeah.
All right, so we have been going through some of these divisions, and this used to be the division of death. We would call it the division of death whenever we were doing these previews, but no longer. Certainly the AFC North, and you definitely have a team that is head and shoulders above all of them in the Baltimore Ravens. You look at this team, by the way, did add DeAndre Hopkins in the offseason, Zay Flowers, then you got Rashad Bateman and Mark Andrews and Derrick Henry. Lamar Jackson and the offensive line in itself there, Mike, is while it's not ironclad across the board, there are some good pieces there for this offensive line as well. So about, you know, three of the five are good to a couple of weak spots in there. But I mean, when you got Lamar Jackson, it can make up for all of that. And then you got this defense that really has played well too. I understand why everybody loves the Ravens heading into this season. It makes total sense.
Yeah, it does. Look, especially with the rest of this division, which we'll get to in a second here, but you mentioned it. Like, there's enough ancillary pieces now. Look, Hopkins isn't Hopkins of old, no. Right? But he is a very good third wide receiver inside this specific lineup where it's easy to get separation.
Third and six. Third and six, you need him to go. Like, you need a guy that's going to catch the ball, right?
Well, I mean, even first and 10.
Yeah.
Where you're the number two, maybe three, we'll call it three, probably wide receiver on this team. And you're running play action, he's going to be able to get separation against the third cornerback. So I do think there is some value to add him to the lineup there. Someone who I might be interested in props as well, depending on what the usage rate looks like once we get the season going. I think it's going to be, it is hard for me to see a world where they miss the playoffs. It's hard for me to see a world where they don't win this division. I am not as high on some people inside this division as you may be. But it feels like this is a one playoff team division to me, which is, you're going to come at me with the Bengals, but I'm more than willing to fade.
No. I'm not necessarily a Bengals backer in this by any stretch of the imagination.
Okay.
But I mean, you cannot look past the defense here. And look, on the defensive side for Baltimore, I mean, they had Malachi Starks. I liked him a lot coming out in the draft. And then to go along with Hamilton there at the safety position, I mean, this is just going to be a really, really good super back end for them. And then two really good corners as well. I mean, there's just a lot to like about this team. It's never really about, are they good, Mike? It's like at some point in the season, they do something that makes you scratch your head and then they don't get it done in the postseason.
Well, that's the big part. So don't get it done in the postseason part. Right. And that's why, to win the AFC at plus 350 in the regular season, I could see it. I mean, I think the Bills are most likely the team that does it, but I understand why people would want to go down that road. It's the problem with trying to back them in the postseason, because it just seems like, if it's the game plan, if it's just a key mistake, if it's something that happens to them in these big games against Buffalo, against the Chiefs, it always ends up happening. And the drop last year,
I know. Seriously,
I don't trust them once we get to the postseason. I trust them a lot in the regular season, though.
Do you trust them for 12 wins? Because it's 11 and a half.
I mean, it's a big number.
That's a big old number.
Look, I think this division's a lot easier than it has been in years past. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in this Aaron Rodgers Steelers experiment. I think that Cleveland's probably not going to be very good. I think that the Bengals defense is putrid and that this is a team in the Ravens that will be able to do whatever they want offensively and has enough of a defense to be able to stop them. The schedule's tough. I mean, you've got Detroit, you've got Kansas City, you've got Houston, you got to play the Rams, you got to play Chicago and Minnesota. Like, they drew tough divisions.
Here's the thing for me.
I would lean under versus over because of the schedule.
I think it always has to be an under lean when you're talking about getting to 12 wins, because just the nature of the NFL in general, right? Like, not, and I'm not talking about from a parity standpoint. It is just your quarterback misses, three or four games. Your running back, finally, Derrick Henry finally shows signs of age or whatever. DeAndre Hopkins maybe is just completely washed, has nothing left in the tank. Like, there's just, while it is certainly super solid on paper, the execution part does not always just play out like the movie is drawn up,
Yeah, no, they won't play out like the movie's drawn up. Here's the thing, though. If I'm going to fade an 11 and a half, it's not the Ravens, because this team is built to be so good in the regular season. Mm-hmm. You've got a really tough quarterback to prepare for in Lamar Jackson. You've got a defense that is good, a running game that is physical. You can play outdoors on the road in the cold. You can play well in the warm weather. Like, this is a team that's just really well constructed from a week-to-week basis in the regular season. But once you move to the playoffs, that's where the big question marks come in my mind. So I'm not running to the window to play the over, but I wouldn't play the under here.
Yeah, so what do we think about this Cincinnati team, though? Because I will put it this way. You do have Joe Burrow. You do have the best receiving tandem in the league. Yep. And you've got to, and honestly, I think Gesicki played really well for them last year.
Yeah, that's awesome offensive pieces there. Yeah. You didn't mention the offensive line, which still stinks. They've tried to revamp this thing. They've had three different starters the last 3 years, and they haven't gotten it right. And you didn't mention the defense. And I am never going to be a Bengals backer. And I realized why. Because so many people bet because of the fantasy players on this team. They bet the Bengals because of Burrow, because of Chase, because, like, they expect this team to be able to put up points, and they will. But man, the defense stinks. And they stunk last year. And they're going to stink this year. And it's going to be shootout after shootout. And can they have the ball last? Can Burrow be perfect? There's just too many things that need to go right for them to have the opportunity to be able to win enough games to push this over the total, to be able to make the playoffs. I think you get inflated prices when you have fantasy heavy teams. And this is the perfect example.
The
of
other
that.
Problem, too, is it is 80% likely that Trey Hendrickson's on a different team.
I mean,
it seems like they can't get something done with him.
Nope.
He's not going to play. They're going to have to move him. So, like, you're talking about a defense that if there was any redeeming quality, it was him.
If there's a single bright spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. It
and
won't then, be
bright and he's
gonna
be
next
gone.
Year.
Yeah. And he's going to be gone. So I'm with you. That being said, tease for our NFL betting. I do have a play from this team in the betting guide.
Okay.
So there's the long tease there on that one. What do we think the upside is? And let's be fair. Okay. We're going to try to talk both sides. What do we think the upside is for the Steelers? You look at Aaron Rodgers, and no matter how you cut it, he's an upgrade on what they did last year.
Yeah.
So.
Well, maybe.
We have to assume he's an upgrade on what they did
maybe.
Last year.
If you gave me Aaron Rodgers or Russell Westbrook in a vacuum, I don't know. It would take me some time.
Russell Westbrook.
I'm sorry. Russell Wilson.
I mean, that would be amazing.
That's an excellent point. Excellent point. Russell Westbrook, he doesn't really distribute the basketball. He would be hilarious on the football field.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
If I'm trying to give a bull case here mm-hmm. for this team, it would be, okay, Aaron Rodgers is better than what they had last year. DK Metcalf is
better than what they had last year.
Yeah, still a good, viable threat at the wide receiver position. The offensive line is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You obviously got a good head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And between Hayward and Highsmith and Watt, like, you have a hellacious defensive line that is going to put some trouble on some people. That's kind of... But what does that equal from a win standpoint? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the upside for this team is a wild card bid, right? I don't think they win the division, but... If you want to make the case, it's that Aaron Rodgers needed a year after the AC after the Achilles to actually be good again.
Yeah.
And that he's got the opportunity now with a year behind his belt to go into an organization that's not as much of a dumpster fire as the Jets organization and play well. And you can make that argument. If you believe that he's going to be the good at this age, 2 years later versus 1 year, I think that's a logical thing to say. I don't like the offensive line. That's where my hangup comes.
Yeah.
Is that the problem in New York, as much as it was Aaron Rodgers, was also that he never had time. And so he had to move around and he wasn't as fast as he was able to he wasn't as slippery as he was prior to last year. I think you're going to have a lot of the same problems here. And I don't think that he magically is able to manipulate the pocket like he was 10 years ago.
Browns are 30-1 to win the division.
They are not winning the division.
They are not winning.
But go ahead and play their quarterbacks for rookie of the year because you're getting good prices still.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and spoil that over in the betting guide that comes out on Tuesday. I repeated what we said on air that night. It just opportunity.
Yeah.
You have the opportunity.
Hashtag Bo Nix handicap last year.
Yeah. I mean,
if someone's going to start 17 games, they've got a chance at winning the award.
It is. There's a new sports betting market out there, guys, called Xcutta, Xcutta. And it's Sports Calcutta, combining the adrenaline of live auctions and the strategy of sports prognostication. Create your own Xcutta auctions for you and your crew for any sport or sporting event. Go in thousands of teams, players, drivers. Database is absolutely massive. You can continue to add to it as well. For a 3-month free bidding subscription, go in support at xcutta.com and mention VSiN. It is the future of wagering.
To Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN. Matt Brown, Mike Somich on a Sunday, watching this leaderboard that you said is just an incredible logjam. It really is. Now, Michael Tjorbornsen, tied for the lead with Jake Knapp and your boy. We decided he can't be potty.
No.
Aldrich Pottgeiter definitely has a nickname. Yeah. His friends call him something. We're trying to decide what it is. I kind of went with AP.
Yeah.
Probably it's AP.
Could he be the ghoul?
I don't know.
Because it kind of, Pottgeiter kind of sounds like Poltergeist.
Yeah, I don't know. He's got a nickname for sure because no one's calling him Aldrich and no one's calling him Pottgeiter. So they don't call him by his first name or last name. He's got a nickname. Let's go with AP. We're going to say AP.
Can I give out a flyer real quick?
Yeah.
1 minute to Churchill Downs, race number five before the pick six.
You have your app open.
Yeah. Yes. 11 to 1, number six, Twirl Around. I like this, the price on this horse getting back on the turf. Don't go crazy, but 11 to 1, good price, Twirl Around, the number six horse at Churchill Downs. You want to play it exacta? 2-6.
There it is. Yeah, Torbornson, 3 under through six. He is at 19 under. Knapp is 2 under through four. He is at 19 under. And Podgaita is even on the day. He is at 19 under. Matt Fitzpatrick has made a run. 4 under through nine. He is now up there just one stroke off the lead, as is Nikolai Højgaard, is Chris Kirk, as is Mark Hubbard,
some good
as
names.
Is Max Grazerman. They are all sitting one stroke off right now. And then the list of 17 unders, which would be two strokes off, is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 deep. So
yeah, there's 14 people within two strokes of the lead.
A lot of guys. Yeah. 14 different people that can probably win this thing.
Yeah. No, there's only one.
No. It's Jake Knapp.
Come on, baby.
Fat ticket.
Give me my stupid degen 18 to one shot home.
I have a 90 to one on Jake Knapp, so let me get this one.
You want to buy me out of the 18?
let me get this one home and you can have some other stuff some other time. So there's tons of markets that are up. We were talking about this literally 2 months ago as how crazy it was that all these NFL markets were up. Well, you can go in, comeback player of the year is an interesting one. We talked about this last year that they had changed the requirements and all of the ways that they have to vote for all of this. It didn't stop some people.
No.
I guess they can't make you vote appropriately. They can just give you the guidelines. It seems like if you broke the thing, you should throw out their vote.
No, well, you just take their vote away.
Yeah.
Hey, if you cannot follow the rules, you don't get to vote next year. Right. Pretty simple conclusion here.
But instead, it's supposed to be someone coming back.
From injury. Yes.
So that's the reason why Dak Prescott is sitting currently at plus 250, as is Aiden Hutchinson. You got a 350 on Christian McCaffrey, a 450 on Trevor Lawrence, an 850 on J.J. McCarthy, who is coming back from having never played in the NFL.
And he should be on this list.
Yeah?
Yes.
He's never played. What's he coming back from?
He tore his ACL.
He didn't come back to the league, though.
He was in the preseason, tore his ACL. He is coming back from an injury.
Agree to disagree. I think you have to at least play a second.
Can he win Rookie of the Year? He should be. If he can't win this, he should be able to win Rookie of the Year.
Yes.
It should be one of the two.
Yes.
Because if your argument is he's never played in the league, which technically he hasn't, he should be eligible for Rookie of the Year.
I like that. I think he should. Rashee Rice is definitely coming back from injury. He's 12 to 1. Ayuk is coming back from injury. He's 18 to 1. Max Crosby, he didn't miss that much time. 20 to 1. He didn't miss that much time. Daniel Jones, 20 to 1. Nick Chubb, 25 to 1. Anthony Richardson, 25 to 1. Chris Godwin's way out at 30 to 1. I think you can pretty much stop it at the first four.
What about Tua? 35.
Here's the thing. Dak is going to win so long as Dak is not awful. Because it was a high profile injury where he leaves and the team stinks and the whole nine yards and whatever and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Like, as long as he's not terrible.
I think it's tough to get past. I don't like this market this year because usually you can go down the board and you can say, oh, this guy has a chance and he's being ignored a little bit. Hey, the top four makes so much sense. Maybe Rashee Rice, maybe the top six make a lot of sense because I do think Rashee Rice has an opportunity to have a pretty big year in Kansas City. But like, look, if Hutchinson comes out, and he's dominant for this Detroit defense, which really needs a pass rusher. He makes a lot of sense. If McCaffrey stays healthy, he makes a lot of sense. If Dak stays healthy, he makes a lot of sense. It's hard to get really excited for somebody down the board. Like, it's not going to be Diggs. It's not going to be Godwin. It's not going to be Chubb.
Can I tell you why I don't like McCaffrey in this market? Because if he has a good enough year to be considered for this, then he probably is offensive player of the year. Yeah, he's probably like right there in offensive player of the year.
Okay, what about this one? Could you buy into Daniel Jones at 20 to 1?
I mean,
Anthony Richardson, we have no clue if he's ever going to play. Like, what's going on with that shoulder?
You could sell me on Daniel Jones because, again, does fit the criteria. The opportunity is there. And he's a quarterback.
What?
That's quarterback's big in this.
On top of that, he fits both voting blocks. He's coming back from injury, and he has also stunk. So he's got both of those. Like, he's not going to get overlooked by either voting group.
Okay. I can give that. So here, if you think that Rashee Rice could get it because of just the offense he plays, I mean, what about Chris Godwin then? Because, like, Chris Godwin, it was a gruesome injury.
Yeah.
Obviously. He comes back. Mike Evans, sooner or later, Mike Evans is not just going to be Mike Evans anymore. Like, sooner or later, right?
Yeah. Can I be an ageist?
Yeah.
I'd much rather have a younger receiver coming back off of a catastrophic leg injury than an older receiver. Like,
absolutely fair.
I do think youth matters in this market a little bit just because it's much less likely they get hurt again if they are younger.
Do you think that my theory on McCaffrey has any, like, could hold water? That if he is good enough to win this award, then he's probably in the offensive player of the year discussion, which they're not going to give him.
No, okay, if he is, there's a world where he's too good to win this award. I do think there is that middle ground, though.
Okay.
Let's say the Cowboys are middling and Dak's not great.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that Aiden Hutchinson comes back, but it takes him a while to really get the motor going. McCaffrey could be, let's say, 80% of his stats from 2 years ago and win this award, but not in the Offensive Player of the Year conversation. So I do think there's some middle ground, although we're trying to thread a needle here, and he's plus 350. And oh, by the way, he could get hurt again. If you pick someone on this...
Taysom Hill is on this list.
I mean, if you pick someone on this list to get hurt again in the top four, I would be picking Christian McCaffrey.
I will tell you this, and I mean this from the very bottom of my heart. If you take even one penny and put it on Deshaun Watson in this market, who is 35-1, by the way, not even that great of great odds. He's 35-1. Deshaun Watson could never win this award.
Mm-mm.
Ever in a million years.
Nope.
Nova, he could throw for 4,500 yards and they would find a way to give this to someone else.
Yeah, there's no chance.
No one is voting for Deshaun Watson.
No chance.
It's not happening.
If I was going to bet this market, I would never have said this going into this segment. It would be Daniel Jones. I would take a flyer with Daniel Jones at 20-1.
The problem is the most likely to get it in Prescott and Hutchinson are both only 250. So it's just, it's not, you don't want to lock your money up for damn near a year on a plus 250.
Well, and not, it's one thing to do it on like a plus 250 where it's to win a title. Like if it's OKC. Yeah,
yeah, right.
Or if it's MVP where like.
Or to win a division or something, whatever, something like that, where you're buying into the team as a whole.
Even other awards where the voting is more clear.
Mm-hmm.
This is ambiguous.
Yeah.
This is a market where we're talking about Christian McCaffrey can't win this and Offensive Player of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many asterisks and caveats that go into this market that I don't want anyone that's not 10-1 or greater.
If you're looking too at this and you're going, you're talking about ambiguous, like, okay, it's an offensive player and it's a defensive player. So what if Dak Prescott has a really good year and but then Aiden Hutchinson has 11 sacks, how do you compare? What if they both do really well? I mean, that's why this market to me, it's at the short numbers. I couldn't lock it up because if you told me Aiden Hutchinson had X amount of pressures and X amount of sacks and this, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah. And then Dak had, a pretty good year for Dak, an average year for Dak. Then what separates the two?
Who's your favorite in Defensive Player of the Year? Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah.
Can he win both of those awards?
Absolutely not.
Right? I mean, I guess if you're going to bet either, bet Dak.
Yeah.
Because, like, there is a world that Dak's probably not winning Offensive Player of the Year. Probably not winning MVP.
Yeah.
So he has got the clearest path to this award. I think it's clearer than Hutchinson or McCaffrey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, Hutchinson's plus 650. Just bet him there.
Right?
Like, just bet him there if that's what you want. I mean, this is like, it's a weird market. We got to talk about them all. I mean, because it's worth talking through them. I think it's a good exercise as we can sit here and talk through all of these names and come to the conclusion that maybe there isn't one worth betting today. Maybe, like you said, maybe it's a 20-1 or something on Daniel Jones, but that's about the only thing that really moves the needle.
Right. That's it. I don't love this market. I don't bet this one a lot. I know a lot of people loved it with grocery store Joe Flacco, made a lot of money off of it. I don't think we're going to see that again.
He shouldn't have won it that year. Anyway, it doesn't even matter. 7-0 Yankees. We'll let you think about that.
Another error and then a 2-run shot from Judge. I mean, it's 4 hits and 7 runs.
We'll let you think about that.
What are we doing?
Whenever you come back.